the Arizona State Board of Podiatry Examiners at 8:32 a.m. on July the 8th, 2020. Our roll call. Please respond with voice. Dr. Ilano?
Present.
Mr. Rhodes?
Present.
Dr. Campbell, present. We also have Dr. Polakoff, our investigator, is on the line. And,
yes.
Our executive director is present here, Heather Broaddus, and our AAG, Seamus Monahan. Does anyone have any declaration of conflicts of interest at this meeting? Sounds like no one has any conflicts to declare. We're going to go ahead then, and because a couple issue we're going to take care of first before we're going to start here with under 5E, we're going to do the renewal applications. So we have Dr. Brower on the line, and he's our second on the agenda here. So Dr. Brower has in his application noted that he indicated a malpractice claim on his renewal and noted it. This was a workman's comp case where the surgery was done in July of 17. Suit was filed in 7 of 2019, and so far there has been no action in the case, no depositions, only a filing and receipt documents. Dr. Brower is present. Dr. Brower, do you have the exact date of the surgery and then the date the suit was filed? Because it looks like it might even be out of the statute of limitations. So, you know, I just was curious if you knew those dates.
Yeah, actually, I believe they beat the statute. Actually, so June 30th, 2017 was the surgery I performed as a calcaneal fracture repair. And they filed suit on June 27th. So they beat it by 3 days.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay, great. Thanks for that information. I was just curious. Well, since there hasn't been any action on this case, it's kind of dead in the water. Do you have another remarks, Doctor?
Yes, I have updated information as of yesterday.
Oh, perfect.
My attorney reached out to me, and they do want to begin depositions, but not until late August, early September.
Oh.
So that's the newest information.
Hello, it's Ty Tabor.
Heather, you want to take that? Pardon me a second, Dr. Brower.
Mr. Tabor, this is Heather Broaddus in the board office. The board is convened, and it's currently reviewing an agenda item. Once your item is called, then you'll be allowed to address the board. And if the complainant is on the line, if she could use her initials only.
Okay. You want us just to hold?
Yes, please.
Or do you call back?
No, if you could stay on the line, it shouldn't be too long before the board gets to your item.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Mute them. So, sorry about that, Dr. Brower. So you said that the depositions will be taking place when?
Late August, early September. Still no dates nailed down yet, but they do want depositions.
Okay. So it looks like she missed it. Okay. So anyway, since we're in this, you're just kind of in the process, so I will make a motion to... Dr. Ilano or Mr. Rhodes, do you have any questions for Dr. Brower? I'm sorry. Didn't ask.
No, I don't. No questions at this point.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I will make a motion to accept Dr. Brower's renewal application.
Seconded.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. So moved. So, Dr. Brewer, could you just keep Heather post, posted on what's transpiring?
I absolutely will.
Heather, would you prefer that on a monthly basis?
Whatever the board prefers is...
I won't have any information until after depositions in late August, early September, but
okay. So
as soon as those happen, I can let you know.
Okay, sounds great. That'll work. Thank you so much.
Thank you all for your help.
You're welcome. All right. Now we'll go to Dr. Stephen Moore's application. Also, he had indicated a malpractice case on his renewal, and the case was settled with prejudice. And you all read, you know, in the application what about the patient, a diabetic that I believe a non-compliant diabetic anyway. So since that case obviously has been settled, I will make a motion to accept Dr. Moore's renewal application.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. All right, great. Now we can move back here to 5A, which is our investigation files. And this is our investigation file today is complaint number 20-09-C, Dr. Cameron Farahani. Our investigator on this case is Dr. Polakoff. Again, we have Dr. Farahani is telephonic, so as well as his attorney, Mr. Shalee, and we have the complainant GM on the phone, as well as her counsel, Mr. Ty Tabor, Esquire. So we remember to refer to the complainant with her initials, please. And I would ask at this time that Dr. Polakoff will give her report first, and then board members will be able to ask her questions. So, Dr. Polakoff.
Good morning, board. This is Dr. Polakoff on case 2009C for Dr. Farahani. A complaint was received by the board from patient GB, who initiated a complaint against Dr. Farahani for concerns of billings for items that she did not receive. Patient GB submitted invoices from Dr. Farahani for this report. She wrote that she did not receive a cam boot on 7/9/19. The boot was not received until 2/20/20. After she had finished treatment, she never had any injections or anesthetics prior to high-energy shockwave therapy, nor did she ever give the doctor written consent or verbal permission for it, as it says in the medical records that he provided. She never had any castings for custom orthotics or ever received any orthotics. On September 10th, 2019, the doctor's office called GP to cancel the visit and reschedule her 9/17/19 visit. There are two allegations made, one for falsifying medical records and billing records, and number two for billing for shoe inserts that she never received. In review of the medical records, the initial date of treatment was 7/9/19. The patient was in a motor vehicle accident, and her attorney advised her to see Dr. Farahani. In the initial visit date of 7/9/19, initial paperwork was filled out, including a consent for treatment general form, which was given for the patient to sign to initiate treatment at that day of therapy. And the treatment form states, I understand that if major diagnostic studies and or treatment procedures such as surgery are required, I will be asked to give specific consent for that. Her motor vehicle accident was on 6/17/19. Her left ankle, right toe, and right knee were the sources of concern. The diagnosis that Dr. Farahani has is arthrosis, peroneal tendonitis, right and left, posterior tibial tendonitis, right and left, chondral knee, left, effusion of knee, infrapatellar bursitis, right and left, injury of knee, motor vehicle accident, hallux rigidus, ganglion cyst, and Achilles tendonitis. The treatment advised was ESWT, which stands for the shockwave therapy, which uses an acoustic energy wave that is focused on the area of pain. The shockwave causes microtrauma to the area, stimulating an intense, focused inflammatory response that promotes healing at the insertion point of the tendons. In the records, on every date of treatment, the doctor had this statement, both oral and written consent obtained after reviewing the procedure, risk, and perioperative care involved. In the records, there were no written consent or description of consent. The patient was brought into the procedure room in the office and placed in a supine position in preparation for the administration of anesthesia. The physician palpated the area to locate the direct point of maximum pain and marked the point with a surgical marker. Anesthesia was obtained with a PT block, that's posterior tibial block, with 5 cc's of 0.5% marcaine. Coupling gel was then applied to the treatment surface. A total of 2,000 pulses were administered to the patient. The patient admits that there were no injections given to her at any of the 11 treatments, or 10 or 11 treatments of the shockwave therapy. The patient was released from the procedure room with stable vital stats and in good condition. Vital signs were never listed in the charts, and the patient states she never had vitals taken. In the chart, there was a note that states no vitals were recorded. Dispensed RX for Mobic and recommended MRI of the right ankle and knee, and dispensed a CAM boot. And this was all on the first day of treatment of 7/9/19. On the 7/16/19, the next visit, again, shockwave therapy was administered with oral and written consents, again, not in the chart, and again, an injection of marcaine, 5 cc's, which was denied by the patient. The MRI report was added. Duplicate treatments and exact dictations were again just repeated on treatment dates 7/23, 7/30, 8/6, 8/13, 8/20, 8/22, 8/27. Under the chief complaint, he has an update of the MRI. He advised the patient to discontinue the CAM walker. And a custom foot orthoses was casted for on 8/27/19. The doctor wrote that it was casted for. The patient understood that casting meant the old-fashioned casting where plaster was placed onto the foot, as it was when she visited Mark Fugit lab, but the doctor's casting was in a foam box. All other items of the four-page dictation was duplicate of all previous visits. The electric shock wave therapy and the consent form, which was supposed to be signed, again, not in the chart, and another injection, of course, for the PT block with the 5 cc's of Marcaine was in the medical records, denied by the patient. On 9/3/19, another repeat dictation. The 9/10 visit, the patient reports that she was called by the office and the visit was canceled and rescheduled to the 17th. The doctor states that the patient did show up for the 9/10 visit. The doctor's attorney, Mr. Chalet, did provide records for the sign-in sheets for the patient, where he states the patient did sign on the 9/10/19 visit at 3:45. There is a signature which the patient denies that it is her signature. The patient's attorney did note that I, Dr. Polakoff, am not a signature expert. He is 100% correct. I am not a signature expert. I did respond that the patient denies that she signed in on that date, and that is not her signature. If you look at the signature form, the last four patients or so all were canceled or did not show up for the visit that date either. There's a question about that as well. On 9/17/19, another duplicate dictation, and the doctor had conclusion of treatment for GB. On 10/7/19, a diagnosis was given for arthrosis, peroneal tendinitis, posterior tibial tendinitis, chondral injury of the left knee, a fusion of knee, infrapatellar bursitis, injury of knee, motor vehicle accident, hallux rigidus, ganglion cyst, Achilles tendinitis, the DC at the cam boot, dispensing of custom orthoses, and this concluded treatment of GB. The MRI diagnosis stated the first MTP joint moderate arthrosis, mild midfoot arthrosis, no acute fracture or dislocation, 1 centimeter synovial ganglion cyst at dorsal second tarsal metatarsal joint, mild midfoot arthrosis, no acute fracture or dislocation, peroneal and distal posterior tibial tendinosis, no acute fracture or ligament tear, distal Achilles grade 1 tendinosis. The doctor recommended and administered 10 treatments of shockwave therapy. Both oral and written consent obtained and reviewed of the procedure. A PT block again given with coupling gel and 2,000 pulses of the wave therapy. The orthotics were returned to the doctor because the doctor reordered the orthoses with a sulcus length. On 2/26/20, the DME dispensing orthotic sheet was sent to the attorney's office. The patient states she never received the orthotics, nor did she receive a brace that the doctor notes in his notes. The patient went on to see Dr. Jay Larson, whose notes and a second MRI reviews some peroneal tendinitis and mild posterior tibial tendinitis, no sign of Achilles tendon problems, minimal effusion, no evidence of fracture. The patient went on to see Dr. Larson until 6/1/20, where office visit notes that she did not finish physical therapy neurological over the toes were slightly diminished with some tingling sensations, painted palpation of the posterior aspect of the heels at the Achilles tendon showed some tenderness, and the doctor recommended for her to resume all regular duties. In the financial review of the doctor's notes, the initial office visit of a 99204 was not substantiated by the medical records for a level 4 visit. He states that he dispensed a cam walker, which the patient denies receiving, and the cam walker was charged at a level of $2,931.17. He also injected the 5 cc's of Marcaine with code 64450 at $250. The patient denies an injection. The attorney submitted a statement stating that an anesthetic injection or the use of topical anesthesia is permissible, and he sent a document that shows a report about topical anesthetic, which relates more to mucosal acceptance of the anesthetic as in dental work, not in a situation for electron shockwave therapy, which is painful. Also, it is noted that the doctor reports injecting Marcaine. Marcaine is not a topical application anesthetic. So if he used a topical anesthetic for the shockwave therapy, it cannot be Marcaine. He reported that he injected 5 cc's of Marcaine on every visit. On every visit, there is a billable 64450 for the injectable anesthetic, and office visits 99213 for $720.68. The complainant GB was interviewed, and she wrote that the doctor's medical records indicated that he administered anesthesia, which he did not do so. He also wrote that GB gave a verbal and written consent, but there were no verbal or written consents noted by the patient. GB reported that she never received any orthotics nor a brace. GB adamantly reports that she had her visit of 9/10/19 canceled by Dr. Farahini's office. She never signed in, and the signature is not her signature. The MRI determined a grade 1 Achilles, a distal Achilles grade 1 tendinosis, no acute ligament tear, no acute fracture, a 1 centimeter synovial or ganglion cyst at the dorsal second tarsal metatarsal joint, impression, peroneal and distal posterior tibial tendinosis, no acute fracture or dislocation, no ligament tear, first MTP joint moderate arthrosis, mild midfoot arthrosis, a 1 centimeter synovial ganglion cyst at the dorsal second tarsal metatarsal joint. My question to Dr. Farahini is, what was he treating with the electron shockwave therapy? Dr. Farahini states that he firmly believes that such injuries as the patient had from the motor vehicle accident directly and 100% related to the events that occurred on 6/17/19, any of which would have been avoided if she had no motor vehicle accident, and this was the reason for his treatment. If the motor vehicle accident had not occurred without such treatment during the course of visit, the rupture of Achilles tendon would have been imminent, requiring surgical intervention, and not to mention the increased re-rupture rate. Dr. Farhini was able to control such symptoms with the shockwave therapy, nerve blocks, Tamwalker, and anti-inflammatory. Such therapies during the course of treatment and prevent the need for surgical intervention accordingly. I found no indication of a possible rupture of the Achilles tendon from the MRI report. The allegation, falsifying medical records for treatments that were not performed. The patient's medical records included the 11 shockwave therapies and visits with Dr. Farhini. Each visit is approximately 4 pages long and is almost a duplicate of the previous treatment. The record states that the patient was casted for orthotic via foam box on 8/27/19. The inserts were returned to Mark Fugit Lab to make them focus length. GB states that she never received them, and Dr. Farhini states that they were delivered to her attorney's office along with the brace. I asked the patient what kind of brace was she speaking of. She answered she was getting a knee brace for her right knee. Dr. Farhini was treating her ankle and her knee, she reports. She stated that her son ordered a brace on Amazon for her knee, and that helped solve the problem. In regards to the shockwave therapy, the medical record states that the shockwave performed this visit, both oral and written consent obtained after reviewing the procedure, etc. The patient was brought into the procedure room in the office and placed in a supine position in preparation for the administration of anesthesia. Anesthesia was obtained with a PT block and 5 cc's of Marcaine. Coupling gel was then applied to the treatment surface, and the treatment head was placed in contact with the skin. ESWT was initiated at 14 volts. A total of 2,000 pulses were administered to the patient. GB states that she was never given any injections. Dr. Farhini's attorney writes, GB, a layman, mistakes the CPT code 64450 with being given anesthesia. GB was given a PT block by means of topical anesthetic prior to shockwave therapy. The CPT code used is a generalized code used for application of anesthetic topically and or through an injection. Dr. Farhini clearly writes that an injection was given, PT block was given prior to each treatment. Also, a consent form was reviewed and signed prior to each treatment. The patient denies signing any consent form prior to each treatment, and none are in the chart for each treatment. The patient disputes a bill of 9/10/19. She states on the morning of 9/10/19, the office called and canceled her visits, rescheduling her for 9/17. Dr. Farhini, attorney, Dr. Chalet, submitted a form indicating GB signing in for a 3:45 visit on 9/10/19 at 3:45. The last several patients on that date of treatment were canceled or called in to cancel their appointment on the same date of treatment in question. GB denies that this is her signature. She has the G in her name, and it is not the same G as compared to the other signatures in her chart, nor the same G as compared to the signatures in Dr. Larson's chart. Also, the last name is not consistent with her signing the last name in any signature on file. Also, her new DPM DPM's chart signature does not look at all like the G on this form. The patient had 10 treatments of ESW treatment, and with Marcaine injections and its PT block, I asked GB if the doctor treated her ankle or her leg. She reported back that he treated her ankle and her right knee. The doctor reports that he had her custom orthotics and a brace delivered to the patient's attorney's office. The patient denies ever receiving a brace. The patient reports from Dr. Larson's note that she had never received either device, and this is what she reported to Dr. Larson. Allegation number two, the financial statements reviewed. This is a motor vehicle case. The visits do not justify billing a 99203 and a 99213 visit. The documentation does not fulfill the justification for a level 3 ENM code. This is a problem-focused dictation, not even counting the 95% plus duplication of dictation records. No modifier was used in any dictation, any billing. The billing profile was excess for each item billed. Bills were submitted upon each ESW treatment for code 64450, according to the AMA CPT Reference Guide 2019, code 64450 is injection, anesthetic agent, other peripheral nerve or branch. There's no reference to topical application. Thank you. This concludes the report.
Thank you very much, Dr. Polakoff, and thank you for correcting me. I did use the incorrect initials on the complaint. Thank you. All right. So, Dr. Ulano, do you have any questions for Dr. Polakoff?
Yes, Dr. Polakoff, did the attorney ever acknowledge that they received the orthotics or the brace at their office?
No, sir.
Okay. And I saw the billing for the casting for the orthotics. It was L3000. Is it?
Yes.
Okay. As I understand it, the L3000 is for the product itself, the orthotic itself, not for casting. There's a different code for casting?
That is correct.
Or getting an impression? Okay.
That is correct. And
okay.
I'm sorry, Brooke, there's one other statement I do apologize I'd like to make. Is this was a motor vehicle accident case, and Dr. Farahani did not get remuneration for this case.
Okay. Dr. Polka, did the patient ever sign for receiving the CAM boot?
I think I might have seen a form that she did receive that on the date that the doctor states that he dispensed it.
Okay.
But I'm not sure on that. But I don't have questions about her receiving the CAM walker as such, but I do have questions about every other statement in the report.
Okay. In the report, it states that he administered 5 cc's of Marcaine?
Yes.
An injection?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Go on, Dr. Polakoff.
And that was, he states that she received 10 injections of the Marcaine. Every visit, he injected 5 cc's. And Marcaine, as I said, is not a topical administered medication.
Okay, because it doesn't get absorbed? Is that why?
Yes, it has to be, in order for Marcaine, even if it's not typically used, to be absorbed, it has to be on a mucous membrane. So if I were doing anything in the mouth, tonsils, rectum, any other mucous membrane acceptable area, a Marcaine or Marcaine derivative can be administered.
Okay. Do you know, let's say she was blocked at the PT, did she drive back home by on her own, or did she have a driver?
She was never. She states that she was never blocked. She never received an injection.
Okay.
And the attorney's note that he sent for this report stated that the doctor was allowed to use the term posterior tibial block as a topical. But as I said, marking can't be topical.
Okay. Another question. The orthotics and the brace were dropped off. You know what kind of brace was dispensed or given?
No, I don't. The patient's understanding was it was for her right knee, which the doctor was treating, but she never received a brace. She was, and she said that she was so positive that it was a right knee brace that her son ordered the brace for her on Amazon.
Okay. There was, besides the orthotics and the CAMBUS dispensation, did you see any other code dispensed for a brace?
No.
Okay. And in reference to the patient being seen on the date that it was canceled, did the office confirm that it was canceled that date or she was seen that date?
The doctor affirms that the patient was seen that date, and that was her sign and signature. If you look at that form, the last four or so patients were not seen on that date either, which there's a question on. The doctor states that she was seen and she had the shockwave therapy. The patient states that she was called the morning of treatment and stated that they needed to reschedule.
Okay. With your investigation, did you see at any point that he was treating the knee?
No, I did not. The only evidence of the knee was in the diagnostic section, where more than 50% of the diagnosis was on the knee.
Okay. I have no further questions at this point.
Thank you.
Mr. Rhodes, do you have questions for Dr. Polakoff? Mr. Rhodes?
Hello. I would like to go into executive session for legal advice on this matter.
I will second that. Any discussion on that? We'll take a vote. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. So with executive session, Heather, what will be the best you want to have? Have everybody come back, or if we go over into our...
Yeah, I think if I call one of the board members and maybe Seamus calls one of the board members on their cell phone and go into the executive session room, that way we don't have to...
Turn everybody off. Yeah, we don't have to vacate from the conference call then. Okay.
Dr. Delano and Mr. Rhodes, what is the best number to contact you on?
928.
Is it your cell phone numbers?
Yes. Call me on my house phone. It's 928-428-3435.
And Dr. Ulano, is it your cell phone number?
Do you want it? It's 480-735-9508.
Okay, perfect. We will be giving you guys a call in a minute.
Thank you.
10 a.m. All right, so thank you, Dr. Polakoff. I do have a couple questions for you, Dr. Polakoff, as my other board members have asked you some questions. Do you, in your report, you did not directly indicate, do you substantiate or unsubstantiate the allegations?
I have substantiated them.
Thank you so much for giving us that statement. As you've, well, you've talked about this before, but in, again, are you in agreement with the codes that were used in billing of this case?
No, I do believe that in review of the billing with the, one second, I'm just going to turn back to that page. The billing of the 28890 for the shockwave therapy was a shockwave therapy that is ultrasonic guided. The doctor made no mention of ultrasound guided, and so the shockwave therapy should be the 0101T for the, it's the lesser code. He used the higher code for the shockwave therapy.
Yes, that's, yeah, okay. That's what I feel here, too. And, okay, and again, too, when charging a 99213 at each visit or at each treatment time, that should not be billed because that should be inclusive if in a procedure of the corporal shockwave therapy. And again, if, you know, if he had used a modifier on there, then he would have had to be treating something that was unrelated to the accident, which I would think would is certainly not appropriate when you're, because then he would have to have a second chart for treating a patient, treating that patient.
That is correct.
All right. And also, Dr. Polakoff, do you agree with Dr. Farhani's causation letter? The reason I'm asking you this, I am concerned that he did not seek to obtain. There's no evidence that he sought or that he went to obtain any information regarding the patient's previous podiatric history. And I say this because this patient is a diabetic. So I would think a 71-year-old diabetic woman. Not that it matters that she's female, but anyway, just the fact that she's diabetic, she's 71, I would have thought there would be a podiatric history for this patient somewhere. And he only states that she denies having any previous podiatric complaints. So if that is part of a very important part of a history that isn't in there, how can he say with, you know, 100% accuracy that everything that was going on with her foot was related to a car accident? I do not agree.
I agree with that statement.
Also, as you mentioned in the MRI, we have a distal Achilles grade 1 tendinosis. So that really doesn't have a high likelihood of rupture. We also know that the patient's a diabetic, which does put someone at risk. There's, I don't see any information discussing the biomechanics of this patient so that we know what her foot function is like, which would certainly be pertinent to that issue. And we were discussing, when was this cam walker dispensed? Dr. Yolano asked the question, was it signed for? There is, that is present in the chart, and that was dispensed at the initial visit of 7-9 of 19. So here we have a patient that's got a grade 1 tendinosis, so the cam walker would, it was appropriate for treating that to prevent rupture.
And if the patient was sore or bruised or tender from the accident, I can see it, cam walker, giving her comfort,
yes,
stabilizing the area while it heals.
And And Dr. Polakoff, anywhere in the chart, and I did not see it, there were never questioned the patient about, I think there was one time when I saw medications listed and I saw maybe a little bit on past medical history. I do believe I saw she's not a, there was a history of no smoking and no alcohol, or maybe alcohol, don't recall right now. But there's no asking of when that, when she came in each time weekly for the treatment, are you, is there any change in your health? You know, any new meds, anything like this going on? Even though this is an accident, she's still the patient. She still is diabetic. And, you know, that if something had happened to her, maybe your blood sugar was up. That could certainly affect treatment and outcome. So did you see any?
Absolutely. I noted several times in my notes that everything was missing in a typical review of each visit, that the podiatric soap, old-fashioned soap, where he needs to list everything required for review of a patient was not there. There are multiple pages per visit. It's all duplicate. But if a patient, if it were your mother, wouldn't you want to make sure that her pulses were there and present? Was there any edema? Was there bruising? Did she have any pain from the last treatment? None of that, none I could get from that.
And I, this weekly treatment, that is, that to me too is also very, very questionable, because, you know, with when I remember when I was trained to use the extracorporeal shockwave therapy, we took patients to surgery centers because the units at that time were quite large. We did not have, you know, mobile units for offices. It weren't available. But you did, you know, treatment for that, for like plantar fasciitis, you know, you did it once and you waited and you evaluated and maybe you had to have a repeat of the treatment in a month. So I really question this protocol.
I as well.
Anyway, so I know, and those are questions better for, but I just wish, you know, and if in your experience with using that same modality of treatment, you know, that that's not, I, if that belongs in best practices or guidelines for treatment.
In review of the literature on this, it is typical for patients to go from mild or no reaction from therapy to bruising or soft tissue swelling. That's all in the literature that could occur. In the notes, it would be nice if once the doctor uses this in the future, he would put no swelling, bruising, or reports of pain or whatever symptoms after each therapy for the next visit, if he does choose to have a visit in a week. But none of that is present. If I were following this doctor's notes, I would be a little bit lost, as you see in Dr. Larson's notes when he says he cannot see any benefit, plus or minus, from the treatment, and he is not aware that the treatment was helpful because he does not do this treatment.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Polakoff. So now we will move on to our complainant, GB. We'll give you 5-10 minutes. And I know your counsel is there with you also. So if you could give us a summary or synopsis of your experience, and then, ma'am, I will ask my board members if they have questions of you. All right? And we're
yes.
not, and for your counsel, Mr. Tabor, this is
yes.
not the forum to make legal argument, as a reminder. Thank you.
Oh,
okay, so I just, we will hear from your,
I may,
pardon me?
Can I just make one comment? Can I make one comment for the purposes for the entire board? It's about the lawyer that Dr. Polakoff spoke with. That was not me. That was another lawyer. I have never spoken with anybody. I have never been involved in this case until just very recently. So I have nothing to do with those other transactions.
Okay, thank you so much for letting us know that. Appreciate it. So, ma'am, if you would like to give your synopsis or summary, we're ready to hear it.
You want to know about my stance with Dr. Perez?
Yes, ma'am. This is Dr. Campbell. If you just give us a summary of the complaint, what you basically submitted to the board as your initial complaint, to give us your side of the story, ma'am.
Well, I was referred to him from a lawyer. And I did not receive any of these injections or anything it shows in here except for what do you call them, therapy in my legs and my feet. He didn't do what it was built for, the boot, the casting, and injections. And it's just not what I expected from him.
Mm-hmm. Ma'am,
because he was highly
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Please continue.
He was highly recommended by the lawyer that I was working with. Mm-hmm. And I didn't sign anything on 9/10 when I came in at all.
Mr. Tabor, is there anything you'd like to add to your client's statements?
Yeah, there's just a few things. And I'll be as brief as I can. First of all, let me just ask, GB, did you go to Dr. Farhani's office on September 10th, 2019 for a visit?
No.
Did you sign in as a patient that day?
No.
Now, I have some other brief questions that I think I hope I'm not being redundant. Did he ever talk to you, did Dr. Farhani or anybody in his office ever talk to you about health insurance or Medicare or any kind of insurance you might have that would pay these bills?
No.
Did you ever receive this foam box casting that they talked about? Did that ever happen?
No.
Now, it says in his very first entry, on September 7th July 9th of 2019, that he gave you a pneumatic below-knee cam boot. Did that happen?
No.
Something kind of off-top, but first of all, did he ever give you any pain medications or any type of medication?
No.
Did he give you any kind of a discharge summary when he released you and told you what you should do or how you should take care of yourself after you were released from his custody?
No.
Did you, after you left Dr. Farhani's office, contact him and try to get a copy of your medical records that he had?
Yes.
What happened when you did?
He said that
the board hearing?
No. That I won't get any records until my, I will get it from the lawyer until my case is over with it.
Did you call or go to his office to ask for your records? Did you call or go?
I called, and then a week later, I got the records.
From?
From Rafael Group.
But the doctor himself didn't give you the records?
No.
Thank you. I think that's all I have, and I want to thank Dr. Polakoff for her very hard work on this case and candor and comment. Unless you have any questions for us, for GB, I think we're done.
Thank you so much. Yes. We'll ask my other board members who are telephonic. Dr. Ulano, do you have questions for the complainant?
No, I have no question.
Thank you, Dr. Ulano. Mr. Rhodes, do you have any questions?
I have no questions at this time.
Thank you. I do have a few here. Let me get my sheet. Okay. I will try, ma'am, not to duplicate the questions that your counsel just asked us. Did you receive a brace for an ankle?
No.
Ma'am, did you go to a podiatrist or an orthopedic surgeon for any kind, or a general practitioner for any kind of diabetic foot care prior to your injury?
No.
So did you were able to take care of your feet by yourself with no issue?
Right, yeah.
Okay, great. Alrighty. Okay, we've talked about the consent form, I believe, already. And you didn't receive any kind of post-op or any instructions after you had those treatments?
No.
No, okay. All right. And on the question again about the orthotics, so your foot was never put in a foam box at the doctor's office?
No.
Okay, or did he instruct you to go to the lab that created the orthotics to have that done?
No.
And two, ma'am, when you received these treatments, did you have pain after the procedure that would have prohibited you from driving safely?
No.
No. So you drove yourself home?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Now, this is Dr. Farhani's time now to give us a summary, and then after that, then again, board members will have the time to ask questions. So, Dr. Farhani.
I'm going to cut in here. This is his attorney, Robert Shelley. I'm going to open the statement, okay?
That's fine. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Obviously, there's a lot to unpack here, so I'll save the clinical and documentation issues for Dr. Farhani to answer, but I'll handle some of the other ones. I think the timeline of these events, as far as the reason behind this complaint, is important. The patient essentially stopped communicating with Dr. Farahani as far as treatment goes, and then 8 months later, I can only assume she received a settlement offer that she was unhappy with, and then on April 15th, filed a complaint with the board. And then, coincidentally, 9 days later, Dr. Farahani gets an email from her, at the time, personal injury attorney, not the one that just spoke. I'm sorry, I don't remember your last name.
Hi, Tim.
And so on. Okay. And then on April 24th, Dr. Farahani receives an offer for a $1,000 settlement from her personal injury attorney. And so, as far as how this looks,
this is time, Tabor.
Right. No, well, this is my time.
I'm sorry, Mr. Tabor, you've had your opportunity. This is Mr. Shalit's opportunity. Thank you.
Understood. Thank you.
And then subsequently, it appears that the patient terminated her original personal injury attorney and then has hired a new one. I'm surprised listening to everyone discuss this case that every single thing that the complainant has stated is absolute fact, when there are numerous things that have been pointed out that she just simply is incorrect about. For instance, receiving the CAM boot. She says she never received the CAM boot in the original complaint, and there's a form acknowledging that she did receive it. additionally, I think there's a complete misunderstanding of any of the, I'm going to put in quotes, billing or invoicing. The invoice submitted by Dr. Farahani was just for her personal injury attorney and settlement purposes. At no point during the entire treatment did Dr. Farahani submit a bill to an insurance carrier, to any kind of healthcare entity, and he at no point attempted to obtain, charge, or collect any of the fees that were done through any of this. So finding that his fees were excessive or his CPT codes were inaccurate or any of that is moot, because there's nothing in the statute for this board that would find that he did anything wrong in regards to that. He didn't charge or collect an excessive fee. He didn't obtain any fee by fraud. He didn't charge a fee for any services not rendered. None of that happened. He received zero remuneration for any of the treatment provided to this patient and has not made any attempts to collect on any of the procedures that were done additionally. That's all I have to say. I will. I think probably best would be if the board has specific questions to Dr. Farahani to direct them to him, and he can answer the clinical and documentation issues that everyone seems to have.
Thank you. Dr. Ulano, do you have questions for Dr. Farahani?
Sure. Dr. Farahani, in regards to administering the local anesthesia, in your notes you used 5 cc's of Marcaine. How did you administer that?
Dr. Ulano, good morning. Madam Chair, Dr. Campbell, good morning. And Mr. Rhodes, and Assistant Attorney General, and Ms. Bottas, hope you guys are doing well. If you guys don't mind, I can go on what I have to say, and I will address Dr. Ulani's question as well, so that way perhaps I can answer almost everything pertaining to all the questions that was raised. If that's okay, Madam Chairman.
That's fine. Thank you. Please proceed.
Yeah. So I initially saw GB on the 9th of 2019, as I would do with any patient. We have them fill out a new patient registration form. And on the new patient registration form, there's no, if it's a motor vehicle accident, then there is no need for them to provide any type of health insurance, et cetera, because the understanding between myself and that attorney is that we work off of liens, and so we never ever collected any type of insurance information from the patient. The last visit for GB was 9/17. The CFO was casted via a phone box on 8/22, and on 7/12, I had ordered an MRI on the 9th of when the initial visit, and later on, the MRI impression came back as left peroneal tendinosis, a distal posterior tibial tendinosis with the left foot, and the right distal Achilles tendinosis. At the time, the attorney had asked me if I would be okay with ordering an MRI for the right and the left knee, and I gladly accepted because they wanted to refer the patient to ortho for such treatment and management, et cetera, et cetera. I saw GB for approximately 12 visits. Visit after visit, regardless of how the board feels about the treatment protocol, me nor two of my employees at the office never given any signs of displeasure. And I certainly believe that if you're displeased with anyone's service or anyone's way of being treated or treatment per se, you communicate to the staff and simply stop seeking treatment. But visits after visits, Ms. GB came, and I was humbly would have loved to see her, and I treated her with dignity and respect that every patient should deserve. in reference to Dr. Polakoff's ESWT, this is an extracorporeal shockwave therapy machine. There's multiple machines out there. This happens to be a hybrid high energy machine. To answer Dr. Yulano's question, I use a topical anesthetic that's in the market, and you could buy it anywhere for every 2 ounce for about $80, which it's an original blue gel, and it contains lidocaine 4% and tetracaine 2%. That's already embedded into this blue gel. And I have been doing extracorporeal shockwave therapy since I was in podiatry school at New York College of Podiatric Medicine under the guidance of Dr. Jules. And then later on went about to residency, completed 3-year residency. We continued to use the same exact protocol, same exact treatment, and same exact application of this topical medication before initiating the extracorporeal shockwave therapy treatment. So what I was introduced early on in school and also residency was that this blue gel only contains lidocaine and tetracaine, which are short-acting anesthetics. And by adding, by adding a liquid 5 cc of 0.5% marcaine, you give a long duration and long-lasting effect to the patient over the dermis. This is a hybrid high-energy machine. It has three lengths of 14, 18, and kilowatts. And there is really no way possible in any shape or form that you can apply the probe of this machine to a bare skin without any anesthetic, whether it's by means of injection or a topical. There is no way. It's so painful that you will not be able to do that. And I'd be more than happy to show each of you in the office settings that this is not, simply is not able. So there is two components to this machine, why it requires an anesthetic, whether it's topical or injectable. The thermal conductivity, as Dr. Campbell mentioned, and Dr. Polakoff regarding the heat that is generated and so forth and so on, and also the heat dissipation. Again, there's no way possible to apply this probe to the bare skin without any type of anesthetic applied to the area of complaint by any means. So what usually each part of this so essentially, when I purchased this machine, as you all know, there's always templates that comes when you purchase an expensive machine. And this machine generally was used previously before they rolled it out to the market for private practice, was selectively used in surgical points and surgical centers. So hence, some of the dictation is geared patient brought to the operating room in a supine position in anesthesia, prior to anesthesia, consent, the verbal. Verbal was always addressed to the patient. If patient disagreed with the treatment, if she would have said she does not want the treatment, I would have never dared give a patient a treatment. And when we talk about a treatment consent, she signed the general consent, and Dr. Polkoff is right. This was not a surgical procedure for me to require an additional in-depth consent form. I do have a very extinct and distinct consent form that I do provide to my patients who are surgical, who when undergo partial nail avulsion, et cetera, et cetera. But I never knew that you require to have a consent in depth other than the general consent that was initially signed by the patient accordingly. So that's that. And then in reference to the board, I was taught early on in school in New York and through residency that we practice based on evidence-based medicine. And every year we worked on literature. And in 2015, in the Journal of Anesthesiology, Clinical Pharmacology, there was a very well-written paper that injection of local anesthetics are painful. It can worsen with needle anxiety and can cause further edema, which distorts the site of complaint. So the use of topical anesthesia can avoid all these problems pertaining to these treatments. Now, Dr. Polakoff went on saying this is mainly done for in dentistry, urology. Well, as we all know, podiatry is not really up in par. Most hospitals don't even have a department of podiatry. So I can't vouch for why podiatric procedures were not written in that article, but I did use an article, and that's what I have based my career and my expertise in based on evidence base. The use of CPT code 64450, I use literature called AAPC. It's the world's largest training and credentialing organization for the healthcare facilities. Everybody, I'm sure, is familiar. The CPT code strictly states that that's what I have been using since residency. Introduction / injection of anesthetic agents / nerve block, diagnostic or therapeutic procedure on the somatic nerves. So if we want to, I am not a biller and I'm not a coder, but if we have to dissect based on semantics of whether, for me, all throughout residency, all throughout school, we use 64450, and that was used because it says introduction / injection. And I introduced a topical anesthetic in form of a PT block. PT block is a locality of where the maximum pain tenderness was. I never, ever, ever listed that I gave to this state GB an injection, or do I say I did? And I don't think I ever gave an injection. And I'm denying that because from day one, I never said that I gave an injection to GB. And I didn't. And I say that today in front of all you guys. And it's very unfair that Dr. Pokolov and her investigation write every single time that Dr. Farahani clearly writes an injection. I did not give an injection to this patient, nor I know what the consequences of are when you do something and you bail for it, and you don't do something and you bail for it. I have a very good understanding as a physician, knowing charging for something you didn't do and charging something for you did do. But that's honestly pretty much it. And if you guys have any other questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Dr. Ilana, did you have any other questions?
Sure, I got a question. I know on your, did you ever on your notes say that you administered the anesthesia topically?
No, sir, I did not.
Okay, and you never said you injected?
Nowhere in my notes, Dr. Ilana. I'm sorry, sir. Nowhere in my notes nor on the causation report I have ever listed an injection. Never.
Okay. Did you ever list the tetracaine and the lidocaine that was on the gel?
No, sir. I did not.
Okay.
May I, Dr. Ilana? I'm sorry. The gel that I use is called the blue gel. And I had to go call the company to get to make sure they send me literature on what was actually listed in this blue gel that I added marking to. So going forward, and all my I've changed this dictation to list introduction of topical anesthesia, including tetracaine and lidocaine, and marking topically.
Did you apply the gel topically, then shockwave immediately?
No, sir. You usually wait about 3 to 4 minutes prior to start, and then after that, we apply the ultrasound EcoGel 200 to the skin, and then you begin treatment, sir.
Okay. Was the whole nerve blocked, or was just the local?
This is a local. It does not get the same effect for you to get as a typical ankle block or a Mayo block. This is literally an area where you actually applying the probe of this shockwave machine.
Now, you said you used the description by, was it the AAAP?
It's AAPC, double A, P as in Peter, C like Charlie.
Okay, is this a for-profit organization?
This is a non-profit organization, sir.
Okay. Do you ever use the guidelines of Medicare on how to administer, what the code is for that for the injection?
Dr. Ilana, with all due respect, sir, Medicare does not cover shockwave therapy, nor there is any need.
No, for the injection, that code for injection code.
Yes, I do, but I hardly ever give a PT block for any given reason. Most of the time it's a 20550, which is the bread and butter that comes to my office, which is heel pain.
Yes. So the guidelines you used was with that nonprofit organization, not the Medicare code.
No, sir. No.
Okay. And I also, just regards to the boot, did the patient sign for the, I saw your MA or your assistant sign for the dispensing the boot, but did the patient ever sign for the receiving a boot?
No, sir. I've always had the implementation as I go by as a new practitioner. So initially, I had my staff time for any type of DME that was dispensed, because as you all know, when it comes to issues, I always want to know to go to this person to address the issue. So, and no, I never required for any of my patients to sign. However, after this particular incident, my new forms for DME dispensing and any DME dispensing make sure it requires a witness and also a patient to sign to make sure that we don't have these issues.
That's a very good idea. I've got also another one. What about the you dispensed the orthotic and the brace? What kind of brace did you dispense, and what was the code for that?
I did not use a code. There was a brace. I had a patient. I had a. I don't remember the company. I had a DME company that came to me that they talked about this really, really amazing brace, and that's usually used for a level one Achilles tendonitis. And they gave me a brace pro bono, and I wanted to give this brace 2 GB to try out, and I never intended to charge, nor I even use the CPT code, but nor I even know what the CPT code for that brace is, sir.
So as I understand it, in your billings, it was never billed for the brace. You just gave it to her.
Absolutely. I actually, we attempted to call GB several times, and we were not able to make connection with her. So I had my staff drop off the brace in addition to the orthotics to the attorney's office on 35th Avenue in Thomas. That's their headquarters.
Did the attorney's office ever sign that they received the brace or the orthotic?
I don't recall, sir. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't have that answer for you, sir.
Okay, so it was just dropped off and
it was given to the front desk gals that are there. And no, sir, I never thought that in the 7 years I practiced in the state of Arizona, I never thought that I'd be accused of such things. So I did not. I'm sorry.
Okay. And then when was the patient ever referred to an ortho for the knee, or did you take care of that knee after you got your MRI?
No, I did not. I applied one treatment to the soft tissue at the infrapatellar region. It was nowhere near the knee. It was the soft tissue. It was in my scope directly below the knee. It was not the joint. And I had a gal that used to work in my office while my wife went through pregnancy to manage the office. And she's no longer with me, obviously, due to reasons of COVID, et cetera, et cetera. But no.
Okay. And then I saw your billing. You billed for the orthotics.
Yes,
but
yes, sir.
On the date that you took the impression casting,
yes,
do you believe that was the right code to bill for getting an impression? Because the code that you bill, the F1000, is for the device itself, not for the impression casting.
So generally, I go based on the baselines, and I may be incorrect. I don't know. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But generally, when you cast the patient, and if you were to submit through the traditional insurance, Medicare, you would bill the L3000 code. L3000 code to the insurance in addition to the casting of S0935. Over the years I've practiced here in Arizona, I've noticed through my biller that S0395 is no longer payable, so I only charge the L3000. So was I supposed to charge something else? I'm not quite sure. Do I charge the L3000 when I dispense to the patient, or do I charge the L3000 when I actually cast the patient?
Okay. I think you should read up on that and study on that, because that L3000 is a device, not an impression. And usually you dispense, you build that L3000 when you dispense the device.
Okay. All right, sir.
Okay, I have no further questions.
Thank you, Dr. Alano. I do have, everybody pretty much has asked you a lot of questions that I was going to pose, Dr. Farhani, but I do have some questions for you. Are you aware, with the way you presented your materials to the board in regards to the patient sign-in sheets, we saw everyone's name. Those should have been redacted, because that's a violation of those other patients' privacy. Those should have been redacted, and just have the check or the sign-in of the patient that was in question. So just be aware of that, please. I also have a question regarding your credentials. I noticed on the bottom of a page on one of your progress notes that this is how you do indicate that you are board certified by the American Board of Podiatric Medicine, and that you are a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Orthopedics and Medicine, which we now do have a name change. I don't know if you were aware of that.
Yes, it does not exist. I sit on the board, the committee for that board.
Yes, well, but my question is, in italics, you have listed that you are a board-certified foot and ankle surgeon, but I do not see that you are board-certified by ABPS. Are you, and or the fact that, or are you board qualified? So
that could also be
a possible violation of a misrepresentation of your credentials.
Yes, ma'am. I am board qualified to board from the Forefoot and Rear Foot to American Board of Podiatric Surgery, ma'am. And I'm set to take go in front of the committee for using my train of thought. Sorry, to become a fellow.
Oh, for your exam. Okay. Well, just something
yes,
like
ma'am.
I said that you should have been to be aware of that. So, again, we've had a lot of discussion already today. There's so much information, and I'm sure there are other questions that would be generated. And we have a lot of things, a lot of allegations here that we've been discussing. And I also think there's a lot of information that we need in order to really properly address all these issues that we've had. So I would like, I'm making a motion to move this case to an informal hearing based on these possible violations that were brought up in the allegations that were presented in the complaint. And these would be from the unprofessional conduct category, which is 32-854.01, what we just spoke about, a false advertising, which is in our listing, that would be number 5. Number 11 is the failing to and refusing to maintain adequate medical records, and that's where the questions of was there falsification of medical records. We move on to numbers 24 and 25 of unprofessional conduct. That has to do with charging excessive fees. Which I would also include in that part two, issues with the questions of the coding. Again, I caution, we discussed the possibility of a HIPAA violation, but there is really no direct statute that would address that. We also have the issue of the consents, which again, this would be number 9, the failing to obtain the written and informed consent. Then my the last would be what is considered to be harmful practice to a patient, which is number 21. And I believe some of that also, there is some question about if there was any treatment that was out of the scope of practice. I believe that's That's my summary as to all this discussion we've had and what is on the table here. And again, that more information is definitely needed and more discussion to determine the level of statute violations. And so again, that's why I make my motion to move this to an informal hearing. And I would like a second, please.
Second.
Thank you. Gentlemen, do you have any further discussion at this time?
No.
All right, so we are going to take a roll call vote. Dr. Yolano.
Aye.
Mr. Rhodes.
Aye.
Dr. Campbell. Aye. It's been moved and seconded, and a unanimous vote that this case be moved to an informal hearing. And our case number is 20-09-C. Thank you very much. Heather will be sending proper information to all parties involved, as there is a time frame for things and scheduling, obviously, for all participants. So thank you very much for your participation.
Thank you.
All right. We will move on with our agenda. We can go back to number four. We have our review, discussion, and possible action on our board meeting minutes. We have June 10th, 2020, general session board meeting minutes. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to present? All right, I do not. Seeing none, I will make a motion to accept the minutes as written in the general session of June 10th, 2020. We have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Any opposing? Thank you. So moved. Then we'll move on to the executive session from June 10 of 2020. I did not have any issues. Does anyone else have any additions or corrections?
No.
Thank you. Seeing none, I will make a motion to accept the executive session minutes of June 10, 2020 as written. May I have a second, please?
Second.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So moved. Thank you. All right. All right, we have one license. This is B, 5B, for Dr. Seth Felice, who applied the universal recognition. And Heather, everything is up to date and complete for his application?
Yes.
Thank you. So I will make a motion to accept the application for licensure for Seth Felice and distribute to give him his license of, and he's paid, or he's upon payment of fees associated. May I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So moved. Thank you. All right. So then we move on to C, which is application for drugs and devices. Initial application for Dr. Dieter Fellner. And everything is, I did ask Heather to reach out to the doctor, because he, in his listing of what he was going to be dispensing, I didn't ask for a little bit more detail just to make sure that, you know, if he was going to be doing braces or cam walkers, and he kindly responded and gave that information to Heather, which Heather has put into his application with my okay. So everything, I think, is he's all ready and set to go. So I would make a motion to accept Dr. Dieter Fellner's application for registration to dispense drugs and devices at his initial, since everything is complete.
Second.
This application. Thank you so much. Any other discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Rhodes. I don't believe you're opposed. You just came in late there for a second. Anyway,
aye.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So moved. Okay. Next is D, which is a compliance update with Dr. Patrick Farrell. So Heather can give us.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, board members. There is email correspondence dated June 19th from Dr. Farrell, and he just gave a recap of the nerve decompression surgeries that he's performed in 2020. He only performed one in March, and I did get a report back for both the December of 2019 surgery that he performed and the March surgery that he performed from Dr. Polakoff, and that will be scheduled for the August meeting.
Thank you. All right. So we'll move on to Heather's report, 6, Executive Director's report.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, board members. As you are aware, the board has been going through the rulemaking process for quite some time. The study session at the Governor's Regulatory Review Council was on June 30th, and there were no questions. I did attend the Governor Regulatory Reviews Council meeting yesterday, and there was no questions. It passed unanimously, so the rules will become effective in 60 days. Renewals are going smoothly. And the only other item I have on my report is regarding Dr. Keith Bangert. It was a complaint that was reviewed at the board's March 11th meeting. A non-disciplinary order was issued for continuing education. He did complete all of the continuing education that was required. Dr. Campbell did review the continuing education and approved it. He completed the requirements on June 12th. So he has been released from the order. And that is my summary. Unless the board has any questions, I can answer.
And you have the complaint log.
Mm-hmm. And I provided the most current budget and the most current complaint log. There has been no complaints added since I sent out board materials to the complaint log. And I'm happy to answer any questions on those.
So, Heather, what will be on next month's agenda then? Which of the cases?
There's 2008C. I just got the report back on that one, and then 2004C. I have the report for that one. That one was potentially going to be scheduled for this meeting, but Mr. Crawford asked for an extension because he's on a plane today.
So right now we have two. Mm-hmm. Has anybody had any trouble with the e-licensing with the renewals?
There have been some glitches, but it's not consistent with dispensing fees. If somebody answers the question no, the system is still trying to charge them the $100 fee. They can call me and I can correct that. It's just, you know, frustrating for the licensee. So there have been little glitches like that, but nothing major. And I've renewed about 320 licensees so far. Almost there.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now we'll move on to 7, summary of current events. Any, have you heard, it's, are they making any noise about, you know, because of the legislators, what's going to, are they saying anything about the next cycle yet? Or?
The next legislative session, I thought about that.
Yeah.
My guess is it'll be virtual, but.
Pardon me?
My guess is that it'll be virtual. All of the GIRC meetings I've attended have been virtual. So we'll see what happens beginning of January.
And then we have our call to the public, number 8. I wanted Mr. Rhodes and Dr. Yolanda to know the reason Dr. Foreman is not here today, his father passed unexpectedly. So that's...
Oh.
That's why he's not in attendance. Yeah, so just wanted you all to know that. Does anybody, for number 9 here, anybody have anything that they'd like to see on a future board meeting for discussion? All right, well, if you come up with something, you can always, you know, just contact Heather. So, and our next board meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, August the 12th. At 8:30 in the morning, we're in this MC.
Correct.
So, all right. If anyone doesn't have anything else, I think we've concluded our business for today. So at 10:21, I will make a motion.
Hello?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.